most dramatic thing I've ever seen you do in my life.
Hi, incorrect.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to
The Joe Project.
The Joe Project exists to equip you, everyday people, with faith-based mental health education. Valerie, middle name Lily.
Anisa.
I didn't want to put your whole government out there, but now that we're here, you want to tell them your social too? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm just chilling. It's late.
I mean, oh yeah, we're parents now.
Listen,
so like,
listen,
8:30 is late.
8:30, I'm exhausted.
We're like, it's time to get to bed.
All right. You haven't lived until you followed a one-year-old up and down your hallway.
And the park.
And the park. Well, I don't follow her up and down the park with my laptop. So
oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Sorry. I'm sorry. Please continue.
I was going to say you haven't lived until you followed a one-year-old up and down your hallway with a laptop while you're trying to do work, because that's sometimes, occasionally, what my life looks like. And then Valerie does a great job of taking care of our beautiful daughter.
I think this is where we're both hyper, so we just feed off of each other's hyperness until I'm too tired, but she's never too tired.
You are both hyper.
Yeah, so we get hyper together, and then I'm tired and check out, and she's like, Mom, where's your energy? What are you doing? But yeah, anyway. Chris,
yes,
I get to ask you, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about a little story in the Bible named of a guy named Gideon.
You've heard of him.
Well, maybe not. Did you hear of Gideon when I first started telling you about him?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know his story that well, but I knew of him.
Never mind. So before we jump into the actual story of Gideon, I did want to give a little context for why I chose the story of Gideon, because if you don't know, Christopher is the one who chose this episode today. So this episode is for you if you are struggling with feelings of helplessness when it comes to taking charge on your mental wellness, mental health journey.
Steps of faith because of your mental health and wellness journey.
Yeah, I think that
entrepreneurship.
A lot of us, well, I wasn't going to talk about entrepreneurship today. But one of the things I know is that starting a lot of what we're going to say can cover a multitude of different things that God may be asking you to do. It's just that because we're the Joe Project, we want to focus on the mental health part of it. I know that there can be a lot of feelings of hopelessness and worry that come with starting something new. But I believe that God is calling us to take better care of ourselves and partner with him to eradicate the power of what is oppressing us.
Talk about it.
And we're going to talk about that in the scripture in a second. But before we do, Valerie, by the time this episode goes up, we will have already done our mental health in the gospel depression workshop. How do you think it's going to go?
I think it's going to go great, because I think it's a topic we're both very passionate about, mm-hmm. and also both are very well acquainted with. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to be able to talk to people about what they're going through, some of the challenges that they find, and being able to provide hope in scripture, find hope in scientifically, psychologically sound ways, and how we kind of marry those things together in order to see the fullness of what I think God intended for us when it comes to navigating depression as a believer. So I'm actually really excited, because it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, which is weird, right?
Yeah. And I'm glad that you're excited, because it already happened.
Right.
Right. So if you're interested in joining us for that workshop,
but
you
we're gonna
missed
do it.
It
again.
You missed it, but we're you can gonna... go to our website and find out what our next workshop is and when it's gonna happen. We do our workshops every 2 weeks. As a matter of fact, I think you should check our website, because there might be a free discovery workshop that is there and available for you to sign up for. It is Mental Health and the Gospel. You can go to our website at thejobproject.co/MHXG. That's Mental Health and the Gospel. And follow us on Instagram, because we'll also post on there when we're having our next workshop, what the topic's going to be, what we're going to be talking about. If there's guests, there might be guests. Maybe there's food. There probably won't be, because it's virtual.
You can bring food if you want, though.
Feel free to bring food. Save me some, okay?
But also, if you missed this one about depression and you're like, yo, that's a topic I would really love to know more about, trust me, it will come back again. So stay tuned. Like you said, go to our Instagram, follow us on Instagram, follow us on our website, so that way you can keep abreast on what things we have going on for you, because we will probably do the depression one again.
Yep. All of those links are going to be in our show notes and in our description. So definitely check us out there. Okay. Let's
dive in. It's more like this. But okay.
Before we dive in, I just need to let you know that because I did that, my whole shoulder.
I heard it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We are 30 and beyond.
My God, to infinity and beyond. That's how I feel. Okay, let's just get into it. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background for the story of Gideon before we jump in, just because, you know, it's a popular, well, it was a, I don't want to say it was popular because I went to Christian school, so I learned all of these stories in school.
True.
I just walk around thinking, oh yeah, everybody knows Methuselah, right? Which is not, I guess, no?
Nope.
Okay, well, I tried. So
Make me look unsaved.
At the time, Gideon is in the book of Judges, and this was a time when the children of Israel did not have a king. This is before King Saul, King David, King Solomon, all of that. Instead, they had what was called judges. These were people who were risen up during a time of great need for the children of Israel in order to lead them and guide them, right? Very much like how the prophets were also risen up to lead and guide the people. Mm-hmm. So Gideon was one of the judges that God rose up. And at that time, the children of Israel, the Israelites, were under a lot of oppression by the Midianites. That was the group of people that they were in conflict with at the time. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to jump in and chat about it. Is that all right, Valerie?
I guess. No, I'm just kidding. Let's exegete the text, because I think it's important to get context, because again, when we get context, it just brings the story to life, but then it also provides so much more revelation than what we're just reading the verses, you know? Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to read Judges chapter 6, verse 11 all the way to 16. Mm-hmm. Me. The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, words are hard. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Remember, that's who they were in conflict with.
And this was a time where the Israelites were in deep, deep poverty. I remember they were poverty stricken and low-key starving at this point.
That too. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord, capital L, is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I'm sending you." He said to him, Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh," that's the tribe, "and I am the youngest in my father's family. But I will be with you," the Lord said to him. "You will strike down Midian. You will strike Midian down as if it were one man." One of the things I think that we struggle with when it comes to that mental health journey is kind of just starting it. When I was starting my music journey, everything that I saw everywhere just said, just start. Just do it. Get started. And I think that Gideon gives us a really great picture of somebody who's really struggling with what God is asking him to do, right? God is saying, "Hey, go do this." And he's like, "What?" But I feel like there's three big things that we can find in the text that's going to be really helpful. I believe it's going to be helpful because it was helpful for me. Are you ready to start, Valerie?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. So the first thing is, I believe that this scripture shows that God calls us and God asks us to do stuff, and God calls us by what he sees in us, right? God sees what he puts inside of his children, and when he calls us by what he sees, it's the truth. So right. For example, we saw at the very beginning, Gideon was, where was he? Valerie, what was he doing?
Hiding food from the Midianites.
Not just hiding food, he was actually threshing the wheat. So he was hiding from the Midianites and hiding the food. But when you're threshing wheat, that's when you're like trying to get rid of the, they call it chaff,
right?
And you need open air for it to blow away.
Got it.
But he's doing it at the bottom of a pit. A wine press is a pit, right? Because he's hiding,
right?
And then God comes in, God sends an angel and says, "Hey, valiant warrior."
Interesting.
He comes in and says, "You're courageous." I like that.
Gideon's like, "What? I'm literally hiding."
Yeah, he's literally
from our enemies.
Literally acting out of fear right now. Right. The thing is that, like, God sees so much more of us than we can see of ourselves. In our very last episode, we talked about how sometimes we have blind spots for ourselves. Gideon had a huge one. And his blind spot wasn't just based off of, oh, you know, my self-worth and this and that. He's basing it off of real history. Like, right. He's basing it off of real stuff. But instead, God is like, no, I actually placed inside of you the fact that you're a valiant warrior.
That's and wild.
Yeah, he's like, you're valiant because I said so. But I think that that's super indicative of the God that we serve. There's a name for God. His name is El Roy. Have you heard that name before? Mm-hmm. Do you know what it means?
The God who sees.
Yeah, he's the God who sees. A God who actually sees and is looking after us, right?
I think he references that name for himself with Hagar.
Yes, it was.
Who was being abused by Sarah, ran away, and God's like, I see you, mm-hmm. and I hear you.
And there's so much, mm-hmm. so much power and love that's in that seeing, because that means that if you're the kind of person who's like me, and you were struggling at the beginning of your mental health journey and you were like, no one understands me. I felt like that for real. I was like, no one understands me. This is such a hard journey. I'm afraid to get started. I even wrote a song that was about like the fear of things changing, because I'm so used to the depression, right? And then when God is saying, hey, you're married to this woman who is passionate about mental health, right? You write about mental health. I want you to take care of your mental health. I'm like, but I can't do it, God. And God is like, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are my child. I gave you a spirit of, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I think I'm going to say that scripture again later.
I was thinking it literally as you were talking.
Like,
so,
like, this is what I have
given
you.
I'm going to let you cook.
This is what I have given you, not the thing that you're identifying with, not the situations or the troubles, because he sees the trouble. He sees the situation. He sees the depression. He sees the anxiety. He sees the schizophrenia. He sees the OCD.
He sees the trauma symptoms.
Right.
Personality disorder.
But I believe that God sees those things, but he also sees the truth in what he's placed in us as well.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, with Gideon, he was literally acting in a way that was opposite to what God had called him, right? So when you reference, we do not live by a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, right? People love to use that verse when people are like, I'm extremely anxious, or I'm struggling with these nervous thoughts or these worries and these circumstances that are kind of getting to me. And, you know, I think it's good to share truth, right? I think it's good to remind people of what God's word says. But I know for me, I struggled when people used to reference that verse to me, because I'm like, it's not that simple.
Right.
Or for me, it didn't feel like it was that simple. I'm like, I understand that I have a mind that is full of power and is sound, right? Meaning that it's peaceful. You know, there's wisdom, it flows, everything kind of is well kept, right? But when people used to reference that and I felt and saw the complete opposite, I'm like, thank you for not helping me. I appreciate you sharing God's word. I know that verse. And mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that people need to recognize. Like, a lot of people who struggle with mental health, who have grown up in the church,
yes,
know a lot of the verses that you're probably going to reference. And again, we are not coming at you. We're just saying maybe they've heard that verse before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've referenced that scripture before, but there is a disconnect that God, in his loving kindness and his in sanctification process, is able to navigate to where we actually not just believe that verse, but are actually able to live it. But oftentimes the journey and the process is what people miss. And God is all in that. God is a God of process. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that? So I love that automatically Gideon, and this is God, so this is different than just a person, but this is God himself, an angel, if you will, telling him, hey, you are a mighty warrior. But I love that there was grace for Gideon to explore. Okay, Lord, I don't feel like that. I'm literally acting, walking, and believing in the complete opposite of that. Yet and still, if you read the rest of that story, you'll see that there was a process that happened for Gideon, not just to do what God called him to do, but he got a little confident. He got a little swag at some points where he was like, oh, yes. No, I am a mighty warrior. Y'all not going to try my Lord and Savior. And if you do, I'm going to try you.
Be with these hands.
Right. I was like, yo, That was beautiful. But I think what people often forget is, yes, scripture is good to mention, but let's not exclude the humanity that needs to be addressed and navigated through for people to get to the point where they can believe.
I'm really glad that you said that, because even though it's not something that I was planning on addressing today in the scripture later on in the same chapter, even after God was like, you're a valiant warrior, even after, you know, Gideon is like, all right, I'm gonna do what you said to do, right? Gideon also still asked for 3 and 4 signs from the Lord to be like, are you sure?
Multiple.
Me, right?
It's you, God, right?
You're gonna be with me, right? Oh, okay. But God in his grace and his mercy was like, okay.
He had anxiety. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel seen.
Right? But I think of how much that anxiety when left unchecked, left Gideon in a state that he probably wouldn't have been able to obey the Lord.
Right.
Because if he fully had no assurance from God that anything good was going to happen or that the Lord is going to be with him, then I wonder if he would have ever set his foot out to do what God asked him to do. But God, in his grace and mercy, gave him those signs. He's like, yeah, I do want you to go do this. Right. And I think that God is saying the same thing to you. If you're trying to start this mental health journey and you're like, God, I'm nervous. Right. Finding a therapist is hard. I'm not trying to do that. I'm nervous about changing my whole life, about changing my diet or whatever it is that you feel like you need to do to help bridge that gap between mental wholeness and where you are right now. But like you can, not only can you, but God is saying, I've put so much in you that I'm also going to give you grace until you actually find it and you actually see it for yourself.
Sanctification 101. God delights in the process.
Yeah,
he really does.
You know what it makes me think of? So I think I told you I do this on purpose, but sometimes when you feel like you don't look your best, I look at you and that's I call life. You beautiful. Mm-hmm. For a couple of reasons. One, because I really believe it. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. One, because I really believe it. But two, I know that in that moment you're struggling with feeling like you're pretty, feeling like you're beautiful. And I never want my words to be anything less than consistent in how I see you. And I think that, I love that God does that even so much more than I'm ever able to do. Like when God talks about you, when God is talking to you about you, he's going to be consistent. He's going to say, you're my child. He's going to say, you are the head and not the tail. He's going to say, I have given you a spirit of a sound mind. Now, when I say a spirit of a sound mind too, thank you for saying this. I'm also not seeking to misuse the verse. All I'm trying to say is that the truth of the verse is still true even when people misuse it. The truth of the verse is still true even when we don't feel it, right? And that's why when you're not feeling pretty, when you're not feeling beautiful, I'm still purposefully choosing to remind you that not only do I think that you are beautiful, but I believe that you can find that as well. And there's going to come a day where it doesn't make any difference whether your hair is done or not. You're going to be like, my hair isn't done, but I'm gorgeous, right? And you're going to fully, fully believe that.
Right.
Yeah. Why'd you hold up my Bible?
Because I was just saying, there's just a whole book of things that God tells you about who you are.
Just don't drop the Bible.
Just if you need a reference. Just, I'm not going to drop. It's the Holy Word of God.
I know, but it's heavy. It's 66 books. You just dropped my Bible. I'm going to go to the second thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gideon is starting. And it's stressful because God is like, go do this.
Mm-hmm. Basically, go defeat an entire nation that has subjected you to slavery and oppression for like 7 years.
I forgot to say something. Oh my gosh.
Say it.
I forgot to say
this
something.
This is our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
When I was talking about God, God is the God who sees. It's not just the fact that he sees what's in you, but he has seen what is oppressing you, right? The reason why the angel came down is because... I'm going to read verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you. I also think about back in Exodus when the angel comes to Moses and says, I've heard the cries of my children, mm-hmm. and now he's sending Moses to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Mm-hmm. So the thing that has been oppressing you, the thing that has been attacking you, that has been making you live in fear, God sees it and God has heard your cry. And I think that sometimes we feel like because we've been oppressed by something for so long and we've been crying out and we don't feel like anything has really changed, that God has not heard us. I believe that God has. I think that sometimes that process looks different from person to person. And I don't have every single answer for every single situation. But what I can promise you is that you have not gone unheard. You have not gone ignored. You have gone heard by the Lord. Not only has he heard you, but he's seen you and he knows what he put inside of you.
Can I add something?
Go ahead.
I don't know if people are going to like this, but it's a revelation I came to recently. So I'll use you as an example.
Oh boy.
You navigated depression for a very long time. Yes. You've mentioned before about your story of surviving an attempt, right? And I find it interesting. It's like, well, why didn't God have Chris navigate what it looks like to heal from depression earlier? Like, why? And again, I think these are the questions that I think a lot of us struggle with. It's like, well, God, why did it take so long? Or God, if this was something I've been dealing with my whole life, why did I get to age 30 with all of my neural pathways cemented for 30 years? Now you're asking me to change 30 plus years? This would have been much easier at 12, at 15. But what I find interesting for your story is God knew you were going to do poetry. God knew you were going to become a teacher. God knew you were going to get married to somebody who's passionate about mental health. God knew that you were going to start therapy alongside somebody else who was going to navigate it. God gave you a community that you could not isolate from, because even though you were working on trying not to, it's still kind of hard when it's your MO, right? When it's a neural pathway in your brain that's like kind of just instinctively going a certain way. You can't get away from me. I'm your wife.
Yeah, where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? I know that's the Lord, but it's you too.
But notice how, and again, people may not like this, but God is thinking about so many different other factors that are tied to when, how, and why we get healed or navigate certain pathways in our lives at certain time periods. And yeah, it doesn't always feel great to hear that, because it's like, but then why do I get the brunt of it? And it's like, well, again, it's not about us. First of all, now it is and it isn't. And I find it that God was piecing together. And granted, this is only like just a quarter millionth of a millimeter, centimeter, I don't know, of a part of God's divine exponential plan for your life, for our lives. But I find it interesting that your healing journey, when you were like super proactive about it, happened in circumstances that were almost like cushionings for you to be able to navigate it healthily, but then able to take that narrative back for yourself and use it to help other people while also getting help yourself, while also loving through different career paths and things of that nature. Like, notice how God strategically did that. Like, imagine you going to therapy, having a tough therapy session and sitting in your room by yourself.
Yeah.
Versus every time you came out of therapy, when you were ready to talk, you and I were able to talk through some of the stuff. And I was able to encourage you. And the Lord was able to encourage you in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, think about that.
No, I'm thinking about it because I remember when I first started therapy, there was a season where I would go into therapy feeling okay and come out of therapy feeling terrible.
Right. Because sometimes it does feel worse because you're like, oh, this is also wrong with me. But yeah.
And to be clear, it's just part of the healing process, you know?
Yes.
Discovering like trauma and working through depression and, you know, other things that happened in my past, it's sometimes difficult conversations that we're having in therapy, right? To the point where I'm like discovering things from myself, because again, now I have somebody who's my rearview mirror covering my blind spots. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. I'm not terrible, but it's going to be so hard to fix this. And oh wow, this was a lot worse than I thought. Or oh wow, this memory came out of nowhere. Now I remember this and that makes me feel bad. But I also think of the fact that like, I'm so grateful that I was able to walk out of our room, come to the living room, you look at me and say, what's wrong? And I'm able to start crying.
Right? Yeah.
Instead of me coming out, to an empty house and sitting down and popping on Call of Duty and shooting people in the face and taking out my anger that way. Right.
God is kind. And he's forensic.
And he's what?
He's like forensic. Like he's in every single detail. Like if you watch any forensic shows, you see the scene.
I've never heard you use that word.
I know somebody used it and I was like, that's perfect. I'm taking that. Like that's how in the details he is. Mm-hmm. And if we really were to take a look at what he was doing, you'd be like, okay, God, I don't always love it, but you got it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just felt that way with Gideon. Moses, I'm like, God, why did it take that long? Because you were raising up Moses and you're raising up Joshua and you're raising it was I could go on. Please continue.
All right. I'm gonna go to my second point. All right. So in verse 14, I actually just read it, but verse 14, the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength that you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian.
Sorry, I hit my mic. How about that word?
And deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian, I am sending you. So this is in response to Gideon saying, like, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? And now the Lord has abandoned us. And God is like, okay, well, you go, right?
With the strength you have.
With the strength that you have. That part. And I think that's the part that I think that some of us get confused by or that we get caught up in. I believe that what you have is what you need to get started, right? I believe that God is saying that what you have now and where you have now is your starting point. I do not believe that you need to improve, that you need to get your life together, that you need to start earning more money, etc., to start the healing process, to start the mental wellness journey. You know what? I'll bring in the other stuff that we were talking about, to start the business, to start looking for a new church, to start this or to start that, whatever it is that God's asking you to start, right? We're focusing on mental wellness, but whatever it is that God is asking you to start, I don't think that he's saying, okay, once you're finished doing these four other things, you can start, right? Now, that doesn't mean that as we're starting our processes, as we're starting mental health, as we're starting our businesses or whatever, I don't think this means don't improve or don't get better as time moves on, right? But I'm just saying that that stuff isn't necessary to take the first step.
It really isn't.
Do you know what I mean? When God called Gideon, he called Gideon to start right where he was. I believe that God is saying, all you have is all you need. And he was telling Gideon to start there because not because Gideon was doing anything that he proved that he could. Gideon was already acting out of fear. He was already in the bottom of the pit, right? There was nothing that we could see from the outside that said, oh, Gideon is the person to do that. He's right. Gonna deliver Israel.
If anything, but God, it was the opposite.
Right. But God was like, oh no, you're gonna do that. And what if that's you too? What if it's like there's a generational curse of depression over your family? And it's like, I've been depressed for 32 years and I'm 45 and I see no way out. And God is like, no, you can start with that. I understand that. And I understand that generations have passed and that like it seems like there's no way out and you're afraid of getting started. And there's nothing that says that this should be you who breaks the generational curse. But no, I'm telling you to do it. You start with what you have. You don't need anything else. I know your house is a mess. I know you've been dealing with hoarding. I know that you've been addicted to pornography to escape. I know that you've spent so much money on things to keep you in the house, to isolate yourself. No, start with that. Start with wherever you are, right? You opened up my Bible. Why did you open up my Bible? Because I'm excited to hear what you're thinking.
Because Zechariah 4 keeps coming up. Despise not the day of small beginnings, because the Lord loves to see the work begin.
Yes.
Zerubbabel,
that's so good.
Zerubbabel was rebuilding the temple. He was not going to rebuild it the way Solomon did. Solomon had all of the riches and made it in so much gold. I listened to the story. It was a lot of gold, guys. He had all of the resources. Zerubbabel was building the temple, but God was like, use your tool. And by my power, we'll be able to do the rest. And he was telling and encouraging them, do not despise small beginnings because the Lord loves to see the work begin. I feel like when God sees you start the work, despite where you are, despite the little amount of resources you have, he is like, yes, now watch me work. It's not just that
because I'm also thinking of, because now, all right, here's how my brain works, right? You said that, and I thought of like five different times in the Bible where that very thing happened. God said, do this. And the person was like, okay, and something miraculous happened.
Talk about it.
He looked at Moses and said, put your staff down, and it turned into a snake. I'm so sorry. He looked at Moses and said, put your staff in the water. Red Sea parted. Why would you tell me to do that, Lord? That makes no sense.
Moses just do it.
That. He just did it, right? Peter, get out the boat. Come to me, right? I'm sure Peter was ready to swim to Jesus in the storm, right? But he stepped out the boat and was like, I can walk. Oh, okay. Guess I'm walking to Jesus, and just made his way out. But it started with that small act of obedience. Peter wasn't like,
what?
The storm hasn't stopped yet, Jesus. I can't get out the boat.
Right.
He said, if it's you, tell me to come to you and I'm gonna come. And that's exactly what happened. Okay. So I want to make this practical because it's a mental health podcast. That means that your mental health journey actually might not start with its therapist. Right. I am not saying that you should not get a therapist, but what I am saying is sometimes we are in situations where therapy is cost prohibitive.
True.
However,
I hate that, by the way.
However, that does not mean that we cannot do things to start our mental health journey.
That's a fact.
Right now, there are some general things that I've learned that I think we've learned about that are kind of generally helpful for mental health. I'm gonna say a couple, and then if you know more, just add more to the
end. I got
end.
You. I got you.
Journaling.
Yeah.
Going for a walk, or at least some sort of exercise.
Movement. Period.
Healthier foods. I'm not saying obsess over eating a salad for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm saying making healthier choices.
If you have a slice of pizza, maybe have a mini salad on the side.
Right. If you're going to get a burger, maybe get the salad on the side. I don't know why.
And if you get the fries, maybe get another salad. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know why we're stuck on salads.
veggies.
One big one, I believe, is staying in your word, especially if you're a believer. Like, staying in your word it feels like a small practical step. It's actually a big small practical step. Stay in your word. Like, there's so much that God says about you in this scripture that's going to fly in the face of what your anxiety is saying about you.
Absolutely.
And I promise you it'll be worth it if you get into it. And then asking your community for support and accountability. Those are just some small practical steps.
Safe community.
Those are some, I believe those are some small practical steps that you can start right now, even before you have all of your ducks in a row for counseling. Do you have any others?
I would argue, if you do have a budget, there are a lot of resources for reduced cost therapy or mental wellness groups that pop up in different spaces that are free. I just signed up for a workshop that was free. A lot of nonprofits, a lot of churches, well, I don't know if a lot of churches, but some churches are providing some resources that are available to people, communities on Instagram from people, look, make sure they got licensure, make sure they're legit, because there's a lot of pseudoscience out there. There are communities that you could be a part of in order to start your mental health journey. And if you are somebody that is making consistent revenue, that has health insurance, it may be worth it to explore, okay, if therapy is something I need, what is the cost going to be? If you have insurance, ask them, what is my copay going to be? And seeing what can I eliminate out of my budget that isn't really serving me that I could put towards therapy, right? If it's $25, I have know of people who pay $25, $35 for a therapy session. There are options out there. Now, if you absolutely can't, then I agree with everything you're saying. I think you should do everything he says in addition to therapy. But if not, then these are really great tools. But I think that people just need to prioritize it. If you do have the budgetary flexibility to do so, if it's like, okay, maybe I won't eat out 3 times a week, maybe I'll just do it two times.
Sometimes
so
you're gonna have to sacrifice.
But we definitely talked about that in our last episode.
I know.
Sometimes
I know.
Worshiping the Lord means sacrificing the comforts that you have so you're able to live a better life into eternity.
The Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, therefore glorify God with your body.
Your brain
is your body, right?
Then your mental health should be a priority for you.
And I want to be clear, what we're saying is, if you have that flexibility in your budget, or if you are able to sacrifice some of your budget in order to devote to mental health,
because this is what we did. We're not rolling in dough.
Oh my God, no.
I just literally was like, therapy, this amount every month, consistently, I was like, nope, we're not getting rid of that, because I knew that that was what's going to help us navigate the other areas of our life a lot more effectively and a lot more healthily. But again, it was a sacrifice, because that meant we couldn't do other things that we would have wanted to do or spend the money on. But it was totally worth it.
Here's how I would say it. We make so many changes in our diet if we or a family member is suffering from celiac disease or mm-hmm. from diabetes, mm-hmm. God forbid, right? Mm-hmm. And we just have to find it somewhere. Sometimes we just have to make little changes. Other times we're able to move money around and get that specialized food or the medicine or whatever, right? But that's how seriously we have to take it. Like, our mental health has been put on the back burner for too long, right? It is just as important as your physical health, right? Especially because there is that mental and physical connection. So sometimes some of the aches and pains that we have is actually connected to our mental health. But y'all don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I could go do a whole podcast about that. But ultimately, yeah, based off of Gideon's example, with the little that you have, God will meet you there and mm-hmm. take it further than you could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. God will feed a 5,000 with what you're bringing him.
Exactly. So just some wisdom for you on this night or day or morning, whenever you're listening to this.
Are you ready for number three?
Do it.
Gideon was acting out of fear. We already established that. And after God says, go in the strength that you have, he says, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? My family is weak and I'm the youngest in my family. God said, I'll be with you. You will strike down Midian as if it were one man. God's calling is a promise of him being present. Like, one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. So Gideon was asking God, how can I do what you're asking me to do? How can I start this business? How can I start journaling? I don't even have a notebook. My handwriting is terrible. How can I find this support group? I don't even have internet. The Wi-Fi in the train station is horrendous.
God, how do I find the money for therapy? I literally am trying to budget every dollar that I have and can't seem to find any space for it.
Gideon, much like you, may have Gideon has these doubts about doing what God is asking him to do, and he believes that these doubts are going to disqualify him.
Straight up.
But God is like, I'll be with you, so let's go. And I think that that's such an indication of, I don't know if I can say God is confident in himself, because he's God, so like...
Of course he's confident in himself.
Does that make sense?
He's healthily confident in himself.
God knows himself so well that he's like, all I need to do is be in the room and you'll be fine. Like, my presence is actually enough, and I'll show up and miraculous things will happen. His rebuttal was very simple. It was like, I'll be there. That's all you need, right? So the promise mm-hmm. of God's presence is also a promise of victory. I'm not going to read it right now, but you need to go and read Judges 7:19 all the way to the end of chapter 8 and look at the different ways that God showed up for Gideon. He won battle after battle after battle. He was the one who beat like an army of thousands
with only 300 men.
You know the movie 300? Yeah, that's what just happened. Okay,
that was a good comparison, because I love that movie. It's very bloody, but that was a really good movie. Yeah, it was only 300 of them.
But here's the thing.
And
the difference is, in the movie 300, the 300 men that went out, they all died. In this story,
the
300 men were victorious, right?
My God.
So here's what I wanted to say. God is with you, and God is present in everything that you're doing, right? And his presence is a promise of victory. Now, before I go into my last little point about mental health, I do have to say this, and I do have to caution us with thinking about what victory actually means.
Ooh.
Because victory is God's glory.
Ooh.
And I don't like that.
I literally shared an example of like, wow, God's glory, it took a hit for me.
I don't like that. I can be real, right?
Yeah.
In terms of my emotions.
Emotions, absolutely. I'm like, God, this isn't fair.
Because here's the thing. We've also been taught that we could go to church, go up to an altar call, and the depression will go away. We've been taught that, you know, somebody who is schizophrenic.
Has schizophrenia.
Or has schizophrenia and is experiencing
psychosis
that they're demon possessed and they need to go up and get the demon cast out and they'll be fine.
Which, if they're a believer that has believed in Jesus and accepted and has Holy Spirit living in them, they cannot be demon possessed.
Like, we've been taught so many times that what victory looks like is, okay, the affliction has been taken away. But what if the victory is actually being able to abide through the affliction? What if the victory is, because I know where you're going, what if the victory is, you know what? I am weak, but God is stronger in my weakness. You know what? This thorn is still here, but God is still worthy through the thorn, right? I can still live through it.
That's Paul. You gonna tell me Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, wasn't victorious because he had a thorn in his side that he asked for God to remove 3 times, and yet and still he didn't. It was a humility thing for Paul. He's like, if I take this away, you may start to boast in your own self, because humans are fickle. And unfortunately, as humble as we think we are always susceptible to thinking we did this in our own strength every time. Yet and still, God in his sovereignty and love, because yes, it's for his glory, but he's also loving us, because when we put God in his right place and don't impose ourselves into the role of God, we live much healthier lives as a result of that.
Yeah.
You knew where I was going, because I was trying to flip to that scripture, and then he said it. Because I'm sorry, Paul was victorious. I don't care what nobody says. 3/4 of the New Testament, we are still reading him today, gleaning from his wisdom. He had a thorn, and y'all going to tell me he didn't go to the altar call enough to pray. God literally said, hey, this is going to stay.
Yeah.
And Paul was like, oh, so I can boast in my weakness because it proves your strength. Interesting.
This is why I said the victory is not necessarily the taking away of the thing, but it's God's glory
being shown through it.
So I have to talk to you for a second. Dear Christian with depression, you may be depressed for the rest of your life.
You might.
God may take it away. He might. You also may be dealing with depression for the rest of your life. However, that does not mean it'll always feel like this. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's more of
strength in it.
It's more of a, oh, not only do I get to rely on the Lord each day and like he shows up day in and day out, but like he's already giving me wisdom on what to do. I'm in therapy. I've started journaling. I'm out here for these bike rides.
Have meds when it gets really bad if I need them.
I have meds when it gets really bad if I need them. I have
community praying.
You know what I mean? Because that's also the reality of mental health and mental illnesses, right? So there are people who just live with them for the rest of their life, but that doesn't mean that they're not living a full and complete life.
Right.
Right? The saying that, oh, you have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, that's not a death sentence.
It's not.
All it is saying, this is how your brain works. So these are the things that you're going to have to do in order to make sure that your life is the most optimal moving forward.
Can we talk about genetics?
Let's talk about genetics.
So I know for a fact the anxiety and, you know, subsequently the OCD diagnosis I have tied to genetics as well. Why is it that all of my siblings deal with anxiety in some way, shape, or form? And I see it in my family based off of whatever generational trauma is there. Similar to like how people are predisposed to having high blood sugar, high blood pressure. That means if you are aware that there is a genetic predisposition towards a certain disorder or illness, mental, physical, whatever, and there are certain situations that bring about that, too much food, the holidays, stressors, mental health symptoms. If you know, okay, I have a predisposition because my brain genetically has been set up this way and I have a heightened sensitivity to this, I need to be proactive in how I prepare, manage, and ultimately overcome or healthily navigate and deal with the symptoms that I'm not like genetically predisposed to. Again, we're not saying God can't take it away. Sometimes God will take it away completely and just heal and you never deal with it ever again. Amen. Praise God. But for, I would argue, a fair majority of us, we look like Paul, where there's a thorn there. And we could pray and trust the Lord, but if God says some of those answers aren't going to get, some of those prayers aren't going to get answered, and that's okay. Paul gives us a blueprint of what to do. Hey, I live with depression, but let me tell you how the joy of the Lord is my strength is real to me, mm-hmm. and how I'm able to, you know how much hope that gives people? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the prayers and the people sharing, I got healed and delivered from depression. I haven't dealt with it since I got delivered. It's a beautiful testimony.
Yeah.
And for some people, that is going to be their testimony as well. And it gives them the faith that they need, right? We'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But for others, and I would argue a fair majority, are still going to have to walk with depression throughout our lives. And how much more power is there in the testimony of the strength of God was made perfect in that weakness. Mm-hmm. And this is how I'm walking through it practically, biblically, and how I'm able to help you, talk to you, share with you what I'm doing to navigate it. That's what Paul did for us.
And that scripture is proving this as well. It's proving that God's promise is of his presence, that he's promising that he will be there. He's promising because his strength being made perfect in our weakness means that, like, even when we're not planning to be weak, like, his strength is going to be there to take up for it. That means that he's never left our side the whole time, right?
Heaven and earth will pass away before a word of his will come back void. He called Gideon a mighty warrior. Mm-hmm. That's it. Gideon's a mighty warrior. Mm-hmm. God called the earth to be and made it function. We are literally living mm-hmm. on his word,
yep.
period. So if Gideon was called a mighty warrior, that's what he is.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he lived out to do that.
And he did live out to do that. So if God said, yeah, you probably are going to be dealing with depression the rest of your life. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness because of the joy of the Lord being your strength. Mm-hmm. There's a dependence on me that you will need that will keep you humble, but it'll empower you to such a degree that the omniscient, omnipotent God is with you. That's some heavy reassurance. I wish our emotions would submit to that and our flesh would submit to that, but it doesn't, which is why Paul says he has to beat his to submission. So I'm going to learn how to do that more often. But I think from Gideon's example, I think as he continued to walk with the Lord, even despite his weaknesses and the ways that he thought negatively about himself, the more confident he got. Because I think there were still some points where he was like questioning God, even as he was going through the process. But you saw that as he took each new step and God reaffirmed himself to him, he was able to walk in a level of authority and victory despite the fact, because I don't think that it automatically went away.
No,
he just went for it anyway.
Right.
And God met him there. So,
listen.
Shout out to Gideon.
Yeah, shout out to Gideon.
There's a lot here.
My last note on this is that mental health and wellness, it can be a scary journey because it's new. But God is promising that he will be present in that newness, right? And I just want to encourage you that, like, this is your indication. This is your invitation, I guess, to start. Whatever it is that God is asking you to do, we're talking about mental health, but he might be telling you to quit your job, or he might be telling you to start a business, or he might be telling you to buy
leave
the
that
ring.
Relationship.
Oh, well, hilarious.
Oh, wow. That was a total opposite. Buy
that's
the ring
hilarious.
Or potentially leave the relationship. That was weird. We're usually in sync. That was like the
No, we were in sync. It's just
opposite sides of the spectrum, right? Anyways,
I lost my whole train of thought.
I'm
God
so
is with
sorry.
You. That's awesome. We should end it there.
Yeah,
I think that's
a good ending.
That's a good ending.
Let's end where we're in sync, right?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.